save your energy, conserve your time by taking your time. Let it flow in the natural order that you feel like it should flow versus looking at someone else's process and feeling like you have to uphold that process.
Welcome to It's the Human Experience Podcast. Hosted by Hazel Brown, a healthcare leader, wife, mom, and career coach. If you're big on authenticity, personal development, perseverance, and transparency, you're in the right place. Get ready to be uplifted, inspired, and empowered as you become fearless in pursuit of the life you desire and deserve. Our goal is to help you level up by creating a safe space to learn and reflect while listening to transparent stories from our host or successful professionals and business owners who've agreed to share the parts of success that typically gets X'd out on social media. Because that's the part you need to see and hear. The process. Go ahead and subscribe. You don't want to miss out on these transparent stories and discussions that reveal highs, lows, aha moments, and nuggets that'll help you to grow and glow.
Hey, 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 you are now tuned in to the It's the Human Experience podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, I have Crystal Millette on the line. Listen, we are going to be talking all the things. We're talking makeup, friendship, life, our journey, just really talking through the human experience, right? It's the human experience, right? So let's go ahead and jump right in. Hey, Crystal. Hey.
Hey, girl.
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. So who is Crystal?
Makeup artist, mom of five, and the number matters. Wife of 17 years, and the numbers matter. Tired, daughter, big sister, business partner. That's it.
All right. Oh, okay. The tire. Listen, it can get tiring. Listen.
I'm tired. Y'all can put whatever y'all want under that category.
I get it. Being a mom, a wife, a friend, a daughter, all the things, it takes so much to balance it all. So I completely appreciate your transparency and honesty around like that balancing act. And sometimes it can get tired. But you do it gracefully. So that is wonderful. You're welcome. So if you had to define yourself in just three words, what would those three words be?
Bold, ambitious, resilient.
Nice. And you got to be resilient, especially when we have so much that we're trying to accomplish and go after. So I love that. Resiliency is super important to me.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. So it's funny because we met each other at a women's empowerment conference. And I remember us sitting next to each other and instantly we connected just kind of sitting there and hearing what was being shared. And it's so funny because when you look at all the statistics and how hard it is sometimes to make friends as adults, like what are some things that you go through in terms of trying to figure out how to create a circle, how to have that support, that connection, like outside of your husband and your born tribe, right? Like statistics talk about just how as we get older, we want more meaningful connections, right? And sometimes proximity, because all the friends that we essentially created growing up, sometimes we move away from those places and it creates a whole sense of like, okay, I need a new tribe. But then I got goals, I got standards, I got all these newness that changes everything.
Yeah, that's what I experienced moving to Vegas. Definitely. And even moving within my career, I'll say. So let me start there. Moving within my career, trying to figure out, like, is this a friendly circle or is this a professional circle? I learned, like my mom told me, like, you don't go to work, you don't go to school to make friends. So I was like, ooh, well, as an entrepreneur, how does that translate? And I realized that it's actually the same. Go into it with a clear state of mind in terms of what it is that you want out of it. So when I moved within my career, I always made my moves based on my professional goals and not personal goals. So if I get a friend out of it, that's a bonus. If I lose a friend, that's interesting. Because it has happened a lot, unfortunately. Yeah. Same thing when it came to Vegas. Like when I moved my family to Vegas, it was a personal move in my entire family just saying, you know what? Yeah, we're over Atlanta. Let's go ahead and try something new. But we were focused. Me and my husband, we were focused professionally as to how we could establish roots and grow from there. So you were a bonus. Definitely. You were a bonus meeting you, at the Women's Empowerment event. That was a professional goal of mine. And I actually got there and landed that opportunity, to be a guest speaker there within a month of me being in Vegas. So yeah, all of the friends and connections that I made afterwards were total bonuses.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. And it was definitely a bonus. So to your point, like when you're doing networking events and things like that, that is a really good way to be able to make new friends in terms of collaborations, connections, and people who are essentially like-minded because they're where you are for a reason. So I love that. I was reading the other day about how oftentimes when we're setting boundaries, when you talk about those losses in friendships, how people don't talk about the grief that you go through in having to lose those friends. Like we talk about a few parts of it, like, child, I cut them off, no time for it. But don't talk about really how hard it is to recover from the fact that you want the friendship, but
can
you
that just be an episode? You. Girl, that's an episode. Because honestly, so that's the episode, girl. Okay. I lost my mom in Christmas morning, 2017. And I was an only child for about 11 to 12 years. So I grew up very independent, used to navigating these worlds and the streets of Atlanta by myself, if you will. So in losing her, I was like, okay, I lost my best friend, but like, I'm more so lost like my homie. Like, what am I supposed to do now? And when I tell you no friends were there, none, like not even in an awkward way of like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But child, I didn't even get the awkwardness. I got none of it. So I was really trying to understand like, where's my place? Where's my footing? Do I mess with you like that? My mama ain't really like you anyway, but like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Do I extend grace because you don't know what to do? Like, do I honor myself and my feelings? Cause I'm still slick pissed, even though you said, girl, I ain't know what to do. Like, I just, what do I do? And I honestly feel like in me and my family making the decision to move back to Atlanta and the way that we have navigated this, I'm so good. Like I've reached that acceptance stage that you go through in grieving. I reached that when it came to the friendships that I lost. When I tell you I have like no desire but the room to have a friend. This is such a sweet spot. Like this is the spot I ain't even pray to be in. I just pray for healing, but I didn't know it was going to be like this. Like yeah. You can come if you come and you can stay wherever you are if you're there.
Yeah. No, I love that. I completely understand what you mean. And I really understand what you mean, not only from the grief journey piece, but also from the perspective of I am open. The room is available. However, I am not in dire need because the person that meant the world to me is not here. And so I'm not hungry for a relationship. However, I honor a valuable, sincere, pure connection. And so I completely get that. And I don't think people talk enough about just kind of where people can be in terms of their openness, but at the same time, understanding of we're tired. We got things to do. We have things that we're working on. We have kids, husbands, partners, listen, businesses, careers.
And it's not ego.
Exactly.
Like, it's not ego. I feel like that's what it looks like, or that's how it's framed and positioned on social media so much. Like, oh, I'm healed. And, I've had somebody straight up tell me, you're not healed. And I was like, girl, you don't even know me. You just literally met me today. Wow. I talked to you on the phone a couple of times, and yes, the conversations was conversing. But what you don't know is me and what?
Girl. Listen, I keep with you. The conversations were conversing. Listen.
You are. But if they're not healed, you know, it's easy for them to project that. But you have to be mindful of how you feel when that projection comes. Mm. And if you let that settle and you're not healed, in fact, child, that thing can take root. And it was, I just, knowing where I was, because those moments I used to take back to my mom.
Got it.
She was my drawing board. And I'd be like, Mom. So remember so-and-so, huh? She was my drawing board, like back to the drawing board, Ma. So you remember that situation? So-and-so just said this, and she'd be like, girl, that's not even what we talked about. That's not what you prayed about. That's not what God said after that. Like, what? It's not in alignment. And that's what I lost in losing her. But oddly enough, no, it's not odd. When she passed, I also said to myself, I was like, I know I'm ready for, I handled it like a G. I really did. And I know I did because I was done with her. Like, her work was done with me. She met my husband, all 5 of my kids. My tubes are tied and burnt, so she's not going to miss anything. She saw me become a full-blown entrepreneur and a makeup artist at that. So I'm like, I did all the things. I just wasn't ready to keep going without her, and didn't know that you do still have the tools. Like, you can still tell people where you stand, how you feel, and still have your voice, even though she's not here.
Yeah.
And I feel like the same would be applicable in losing friendships as well, and going through that grieving process. You are still who you were in that friendship. Nothing has to change about that.
Yeah, I love that. And that makes so much sense. I want to go ahead and shift gears into the makeup artistry. You know, you talked about the fact that she witnessed you do that. And when we think about friendship and trying to figure out who we are, sometimes as we move into our purpose, that's where that becomes like significant, in the sense that having that like-minded folk or someone understands your vibe, your niche, and the things that you're doing really helped. But I want to sit in your makeup artistry, because I remember when I met you at the Women's Empowerment Conference, and I saw your look, your vibe, your makeup, your everything. And I was like, oh my God, my daughter's birthday is coming up. I want her to do her makeup. And I reached out to you, and you came over, and you did her makeup for her whole little 15 backyard boho vibe that she had going on. And when I say you were professional, you gave her the look she was going for. You were on time. You were even like, what else can I do to make this vibe a vibe? Listen, I can do all the things. And just in kind of looking you up online and hearing more about the services you offer in terms of weddings and just any kind of events, personal things going on, and seeing your 5 stars and all the things, I want to hear more about what inspired you to get into makeup. What inspired you to get into beauty?
You're going to laugh. My husband. It was totally his idea. Yeah, and people are always shocked. I started my entrepreneurial journey as a fashion designer. I had a streetwear clothing line. And I came from the wonderful world of retail, and I love, 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 love fashion and retail. But I outgrew it. I got to the point where I could have been like the store manager for Nordstrom. I helped Nordstrom scale from like number 16 to 3 in the region. And when I got to that point, I got pregnant with baby number 5 and had to stop both things, had to stop work. Because my pregnancies were always really hard on me. As you've seen in person, I am really, really petite. I am not adult sized. But I married an adult sized man. So carrying his babies to term does not go as planned ever. So I'm always like on bed rest towards the end of second trimester. So I went ahead and just cut my losses when it came to Nordstrom. I knew ahead of time, I was like, all right, this is not even going to work. I also, oddly enough, had plans to come to Vegas for the first time for the Magic Trade Show. And that was going to be the next level for my fashion business. But when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, okay, God, I got to figure out something else to do. How can I shift my business and still be able to bring money into this house? Because we were a two income household at the time. About 10 minutes after that prayer, my husband walked in the room and he was like, babe, I know you've been saying you don't want to do it, but, and I was like, makeup. And he was like, yeah, why don't you do makeup? Just try it. Just try it. And I was like, all right, I'll try. And I was like, well, let me go talk to God about it real quick. And I went right back and I was like, all right, God, I'm about to make a post about this. And I'm going to tell all my fashion clients and customers, hey, I'm going to try makeup and see what y'all say. And I told him, I said, if this is not for me, slam the door right now. I'll delete the post. As soon as I posted it, I had so, that was like, viral wasn't even a thing then, but it went viral. Okay. It went viral. And there were people in the comments and was like, girl, I would have been waiting for you to do this. Why didn't you do this before? And I was like, why you ain't say nothing? Like, what? If this is what you wanted, that's all you had to say. But I learned then it's not always going to be that plain and simple. But that's how I got started. That was back in 2011.
Hmm. Got it. Wow. That's interesting that he came up with the thought and you're like, wait, let me go to God. And I think that's important too. Because people have ideas all day long, no matter if you trust them or not, you need to go to God and make sure it's in full alignment with what you're supposed to be doing in your life.
Yes. And then I scaled into bridal. Honestly, it made sense for my artistry. And I like to explain that piece. When I first started as a makeup artist, cut creases, big bold lashes, Hobby Lobby glitter was a thing. And I was like, Lord, I don't do makeup like that. I like your softer looks. And where are those people? Where are those women? Like, who's going to want to work with me? And I experienced that for like the first like year of me just trying to figure it out. I even worked at a very popular salon in Atlanta. Like they had a whole TV show and everything. And I was still trying to find my way. And I got a couple of prom clients, girls who were going to the proms, and their moms were the ones booking me. And they were very adamant about their daughter still looking like, you know, 16 and 17 years old. And I was like, okay, I got that concept. And they was like, you know, you can give them a little bit of lash. That's cute, but make sure that it's easy for them to take off. And I was like, okay, this really sounds like my zhuzh, like this I can do. So I could communicate with the mom like that. Of course, connected with the girls because I had my own daughters. So I was like, I love this, but prom season. All the girls want to get ready together. Everybody going to the prom at the same time. So I realized for the entire prom season, it was March through May, like the beginning of May. Girl, I was all over the place. I would have 10 clients in a day, but I'm driving in circles doing taxi cab confessions, as I like to call it. And I was just like, this is burning me out. There has to be a more efficient way to get all of these girls in the same room who want the same look. Oh my God, they're going to the same place. It's a wedding. Do that. It literally, like, I was just like, yes, that's it. That's it. Because I was already doing like group discounts for the prom girls. And like, I already know all y'all are going. So get dressed with your friends. But a level up, the next level up from that was weddings. So just took off from there. And I was like, oh, I love my brides. The champagne eye, the rosy lip, pinky nude. I got it. Let's go.
Let's go. Yes, I was thinking the same thing. Let's go. Listen, so what are some myths or just different things that you've encountered along the journey with makeup artistry, life, being a mom, being a wife, whatever the case may be that you've encountered that you just realized like it was not real. Like, let that go.
Lie from the pit. Makeup artistry. Ooh, referrals, girl. No. They sound real good though. That sounds like a really good idea. That is a myth that you will be able to easily get client referrals or customer referrals from friends, families, and all the things just because you do good makeup. Nope. What's another one? Makeup makes me break out. If you don't wash your face, everything makes you break out. You're dirty. There's a solution.
Oh my goodness. It's so funny because, yes, to your point, you can't skip skincare. You can't skip hydration.
Stop. A professional one. I need to have all the shades in my kit. No, you don't. I'll give you a good 5 from each shade range. So if you have a diverse portfolio and you're deciding that you want to, you know, work with both color clients and non-color clients, I like to work with women of color, but to each their own, then I would recommend starting out with, like I said, at least 5 shades. When I first started out, I believe that I got to get everything in every shade, and don't let me mess around and find out a new brand and came out with something else. Now I need all the shades from that, and I've spent over $300. I also do have a set obsession with skin though, so like I love me some foundation. I got my 4 different ones for my own myself, but I don't recommend that professionally. And I've heard a lot of artists say, you know, like, yeah, you definitely should invest in the foundation and make sure you get all the shade. No. Learn color theory and learn how to mix and you'll be good to go.
Got it.
Or choose a niche and just get that.
Got it. So you talked about color theory. I've never heard of that. What is color theory?
Color theory is the ability to be able to mix and match different colors based on your understanding of how shade ranges work. That's also being able to define like your undertone. I know you've heard that, like, oh, I have a red undertone, or I have a yellow undertone or golden undertone. So it's just the ability to be able to see what that undertone is, know that, and then create that color or complementary shades.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. And I get it, because sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit orangey. Or
and that orange real quick.
Yeah.
That foundation will take you orange real quick. What I love about working with women of color, we are so many different shades, different times of the year, and in different locations. I was so red in Vegas, so red, but it made sense because of how warm it is over there, of course. So that's going to pull out those natural warmths, in my complexion. During the winter season, I'm usually a little more cooler. So I tap into my golden age and era. I like to kind of keep it there. but yeah, like that's what I love about working with women of color. Like we just have so many different shade ranges to us, but at our core, we're usually either your reds or your golden undertones.
Got it. I was reading a study the other day that talked about like the statistics for women, where it was like 60 to 90% of women shared just not feeling confident in their appearance. So I know you shared some gems in terms of an aspiring professional makeup artist and what they can do in terms of myths to avoid and move forward in their journey. But what about the everyday woman? What are some tips you have for them? They might be on a budget and they're really looking at trying to improve their beauty and their appearance. Like, what are some beauty hacks, if you will, that you'll share for the everyday woman?
I know a major concern is always longevity and comfort. So I know a lot of women usually like to go towards your airbrush finish and the more high-end products just because you think that that's going to give you that longevity automatically. And no. I would always recommend using a stick foundation because that's usually buildable. So Black Opal is a very good brand, and that's an affordable brand. Fenty just came out with her blurring sticks, which are buildable as well. So I love those. I haven't tried them, but I've seen a lot of the other artists who I love try them. I've kind of played with them a little bit, but I ain't buy it. I was there for something else and I was staying focused. But yeah, I would recommend those. Anything that is lightweight. So you don't always traditionally have to go with a liquid foundation just because there's so many more that are available to you. But one liquid foundation that I do love and kind of swear by and is a very affordable brand is the Revlon ColorStay. That one is a gem. So I would recommend just finding a foundation that fits your complexion, of course, but also your lifestyle in terms of wearability. Like, how long do you plan on wearing this? How frequently do you plan on wearing this? And that would speak to where you need to actually shop for the brand.
Got it. So we touched on applying the makeup. What about taking it off? We have wipes, oils, all sorts of stuff. And we're talking about keeping our skin glowing and looking healthy, even when we don't have on makeup. What do you suggest for that?
So I always tell my clients who don't really wear makeup a lot, don't waste your money and go buy like makeup remover wipes. And that's if I don't provide them with some in a touch-up kit. But don't waste your money and go buy those because those also can tend to strip your natural oils from your face. A good little hack is coconut oil. A lot of women usually have that in their cabinets. Yeah. So you can put like a nickel size of coconut oil in your hand, rub it together. It'll take everything off. It's also hydrating, of course, but it doesn't clog your pores. So that's what I love about that. So it's essentially an oil cleanse that you're able to do in your face.
You should see my face. Like, those black oils for nothing? Are you telling me it was nothing?
Mm-hmm. Not buying it. I'm not buying it. Even, and I think this is no shade because I ain't tried it yet. I've just seen the influencer girls do it. But the Fenty melt off, I'm like, oh, that looks like coconut oil. It looks just like that. If y'all want it to be that wet, then pop it in the microwave. But it's still going to do the same thing.
What a good beauty hack. Like, just use coconut oil. It's good for you anyway. Like, it's already in your cabinet. Go ahead and use it.
I mean, olive oil works, vegetable oil, baby oil gel. We all got them. Oil.
Okay.
It's not mineral oil. Mineral oil, that's too thick. Maybe we don't want that. Avocado oil is real good for the skin, too.
Okay.
For my vegans.
All the oils, no mineral oil. Got it.
No mineral oil. Yeah. But start with a coconut oil for sure.
How do you stay true to yourself? Because in your personality and the way you come across, you, everyone, as we navigate the world, introverts, extroverts, people who are just really into being collaborative or kind of staying by themselves, bubbly, not bubbly, all the things. Everyone seems to have an issue with trying to figure out how to balance their true self, because sometimes people have to show up in the world to where they seem happier than they are. They seem quieter than they actually are. All the things to try to be checked off by society. What do you do intentionally to make sure that you're always showing up as Crystal?
I'd say I use my voice. So I'm clear in saying I don't want to show up. And this is why I'm not showing up. And I will see y'all when I show up. So don't wait for me to show up.
It
is very much that. Like, they, never mind, I ain't gonna say that because this is recorded. People know. it's that. I use my voice. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, awesome. So it sounds like what you're sharing is that you don't allow anyone else's presence to stop you or entice you to be anything other than who you are. So if it's a moment to where you don't feel like you should be there, you're not. And if it's a moment you feel like you need to use your voice, you do that. And so you don't change who you are based on your surroundings. You honor your true self.
Yes. Yes. That.
Yeah. I love that for you because a lot of people don't know how to do that. A lot of people decide, you know what? Everyone's talking. Let me talk. Or everyone is quiet. It's time for me to be quiet. or everyone looks a certain way, it's time for me to look that way. And I think the worst thing we can do as women, forget just as people, because you lose yourself. You're a wife, you're a mom, you're an employee, you're a business owner. And when you lose yourself in all of the different hats that you're wearing, when all those things are not in front of you, then how do you identify who you are? Mm-hmm. So I love that for you, that you know when to turn on and turn off according to your needs.
I think it's because I also go into new situations getting them caught up. Like, I always lead with my husband, my husband, my husband. And it don't even be on purpose. That's what I did with you. I just remembered. Oh, my God. But yeah, it don't even be on purpose. So I lead with what I'm passionate about. Everything else just comes after that. So, yeah, everything else just falls into place. And I think it helps it make sense afterwards. Like, hey, let me just tell you everything I got going on so that now I don't have to, like, you know, fake cancel later on.
We won't talk about flaking, but let's leave that alone. What I did want to ask you is, like, what do you think is one of your superpowers? I asked your current superpower for a reason, because we don't need to tap in what we want. I want you to tap into what you have. So what would you say is your superpower?
Does this count? I don't feel like it counts. I love getting dressed. I think that's always a shocker to people. When I show up, I've had more people say, like, oh, my God. Like, you just had this? And I was like, yeah.
So is it your coordination skills, your fashion sense?
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's totally my fashion sense. When I stopped my fashion design business, I hid the fact that I could dress. Not intentionally, though. Everybody just wanted me to wear all black.
But I think the coordination ability is important, considering you're doing makeup, considering you're helping with bringing women's fashion out.
I've met makeup artists who can't dress.
Okay, so it's definitely a superpower then, okay. But it should be needed, but okay. Well,
That's why I was like, does this count? Because I felt like it was necessary. It's a necessary skill. How else are you going to coordinate the makeup with the... But then I've seen some things and I'm like, see, so.
That's funny.
This is a superpower. You're right.
Yeah, it's absolutely a superpower. What I wanted to ask you, is there anything you want to share with the listeners that we haven't talked about, but you want to leave them with something that you think is meaningful for anyone that's starting their journey as a mom, a wife, a makeup artist, a doc, whatever the case may be?
Save your energy, conserve your time by taking your time. Let it flow in the natural order that you feel like it should flow versus looking at someone else's process and feeling like you have to uphold that process.
I love that.
That's it.
Yeah, it's so important. So many times, especially with social media, because when they talked about all the statistics around women not loving their appearance, it really had to do with the incline of social media images and trends and
BBLs of Atlanta.
Listen, and all of the different YouTube videos teaching people how to do makeup, it really increased people's feeling that they need to, and then it gave them the ability to learn how to. So yeah. I love that, staying in your lane and figuring out what makes sense for you and not feeling like you have to waver over to someone else's process. So I love that.
That's it. Yes. And that was my advice to myself today.
Okay. So. And it's a journey. So I love that too.
Not to be confused with having it all together and all things figured out. No. Yes.
It's funny because I always hear people say, like, whenever I'm posting things and you're reading things, like, don't ever think that just because I'm posting it, it means that I have it figured out. I could be talking to myself in that very moment. And there are people around the world that are going through those same things and they need that message as well.
And that's why I try to encourage people to, like, engage on the content too, to your point, Because I'll be like, what did I say? Like, people be coming back like, girl, caption. And I'll be like, what did I say? How was I feeling? I don't even remember. Oh, yeah, that's do that. Do that. So I'm like, girl, I am trying to figure it out. I got 5 kids, 2 dogs, a husband, a business. Tired. There's
2 dogs. I didn't realize the 2 dogs part. Okay. So you was tired, busy, and all the things. But where can the listeners find you online?
Everything is at It's Her Makeup. So ITSHERMAKEUP.com. All my social media handles are It's Her Makeup. I'm more active, heavy active on Instagram. I'm on there every day. I'm trying to get better at posting more regularly, though. I'm consistent enough, but you get it. Anyway, y'all can go over to TikTok. Currently, there's nothing but one post there, and it's the same one that's on Instagram. So there's that.
Well, I love that.
The talk, child. I'm 37 and I can't keep up.
Listen, I love that transparency because, yes, social media is a job within itself, but I definitely feel like they can get so much value for going over and following you on Instagram. I love your reels. I've reached out to you personally like, girl, it's a movie production. I love it.
And I'm like, girl, I don't know what I was doing, child. I don't know.
Well, thank you so much, Crystal, for joining us for the podcast. Listen, if you are not already following the podcast, go ahead and scroll on up to the top and hit that subscribe button. Leave us a rating, right? 5 stars, of course, and leave a comment so we know exactly what value you took from this episode so we could keep bringing guests on like this.
We hope you caught all those gems. So here for all of it. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a gem. Write a review so that we know to keep bringing you episodes like this. And check us out online at itsthehumanexperience.com to keep up with us. Keep growing and glowing. Catch you on the next episode.